Today's daf is Yud Beis, and we're going to start on the top of the Amud. Azal Rav Huna Breid Rav Yehuda Amra Lishmatita Kamei Derava. So Rav Huna will now present what he heard from Abaye to Rava. Amar, so Rava responds, is it really possible to say that according to Rav Yehuda, a person makes a mistake only in 1 hour and a little bit more? If that's be the case, then we're going to have a problem, because how can we be machshir edus if one person of the two witnesses says that it was b'sholosh and the other says it was b'chamesh? And we're assuming, according to Abaye, that the first aid who testifies that the murder took place at the third hour, what he meant to say was the end of the third hour. And the second witness who said that the murder took place in the fifth hour, he meant at the beginning of the fifth hour. And the discrepancy between them is 1 hour plus a mashu. And that's the amount of a mistake that we grant an aid to make in terms of being able to tell the time. He can't be precise, so we allow him for a toes, a mistake of 1 hour and a mashu. Says Rava, this doesn't make any sense. Ma ilu daikinon bahanim sahadi. If we would investigate the edim, and we would be very careful to see what they mean, we would interrogate them, and we may find out that the high dekamer shalosh, that the one witness who said it was in the third hour, what he meant to say was b'tchila shalosh, at the beginning of the third hour. V'hai dekamer chamesh, and the other witness who said it was at the fifth hour, b'sof chamesh, havya. B'sof chamesh, meaning that the murder took place at the end of the fifth hour. And again, we interrogate each aide separately in a different room, and we may find out that the one who said shalosh meant the beginning of the third, the one who meant the fifth meant the end of the fifth, is havyedus mukreshes. Because now we have a discrepancy between the beginning of the third hour and the end of the fifth hour. That's 3, 4, 5. That's a discrepancy of close to 3 hours. And we don't allow for that much of a margin of error. And therefore, it's an edus mukreshes. We cannot reconcile these two edim when they have a separation of 3 hours. And velokatlinon, in such a case, had we interrogated the edim and found and discovered that there was a 3 hour discrepancy between the two, we would certainly not be able to put the accused to death. Is vanan nekum v'niktal misveka? And now, because you didn't interrogate the edim thoroughly, you assume that shalosh means sof shalosh and chamesh means tchilas chamesh, is now, based on that assumption, which itself is in doubt, you now go ahead and kill the accused. Rachman Omer, the Torah says, v'shoftu edim yitzilu edim. The Torah says that we are required to interrogate the edim as much as possible in order to save the accused. And here what you're doing is you're being makariv the edus. You're somehow closing the gap between the witnesses based on your assumption that he meant the end and he meant the beginning. On the contrary, what we should be doing is we should be trying, instead of to be makariv the edim one to the other, to be machik them as much as possible to save the accused. El Amar Rava. So Rava now has a different interpretation of the machlok between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. L'divrei Rabbi Meir, Adam Toesh Tei Shos Chaser Mashu. According to Rabbi Meir, the maximum margin of error that a person could make is 2 hours. 2 hours minus a little bit. L'divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Adam Toesh Shos Shos Chaser Mashu. Rabbi Yehuda allows for an extra hour of a margin of error of 3 hours minus a little bit. Therefore, L'divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir says that you could be Mashu the Eidus in a case where one aid says that the murder took place in the second hour. The other one says it took place in the third hour. And since Rabbi Meir allows Adam Tosh Tei Shos for a mistake of 2 hours Chaser Mashu, is Maisi Kahavi, if the murder took place either at the beginning of the second hour or at the end of the third hour, is chad minayu katoi b'shtei shos chaser mashahu. The maximum error here in this case would be 2 hours and a plus, and according to Rabbi Meir, we allow for such a margin of error, and that's why we can reconcile the two edim and create a valid edus. In other words, even if we'll assume that we have to be marchik the edim as much as possible, one from the other, and we're going to say that the murder actually took place at the beginning of the second hour, and the person who said three, the third hour, he meant the end of the third hour, then even in this case, you are still within the margin of error. Because from the beginning of the second hour till the end of the third hour is 2 hours minus a mashahu. And if we would say that the maisa took place alternatively at the end of the third hour, then the witness who said shtayim, the second hour, and he meant the beginning of shtayim, nevertheless, he's still within the two-hour range that we allow for a margin of error. And that's according to Rabbi Meir. L'divrei Rabbi Yehuda, says Rav, according to Rabbi Yehuda, one witness said it was the third hour, the other said it was the fifth hour. Rabbi Yehuda allows for a tos of 3 hours minus a mashu, adam tos shol shos chos a mashu. Maisa ki havi, two possibilities, o b'tchila sholosh, o b'sof chamesh, either at the beginning of the third hour or the end of the fifth hour. V'chad minay katoi sholosh shos chos a mashu, one of the two witnesses made an error of 3 hours minus a bit, and therefore, even if we would say that the maisa took place at the beginning of the third hour, and the witness who said it was the fifth hour, he meant to the end of the fifth hour, they're still within a discrepancy, a mistake of 3 hours chaser mashu. Or if we would assume that the maisa took place at the end of the fifth hour, and the person who said shalosh, he meant the beginning of the third hour, well, there still is within the margin of error of 3 hours chaser mashu. So this is Rava's explanation of the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir allowing for a mistake of almost 2 hours, and Rabbi Yehuda almost 3 hours. All this is going to have an impact on our Mishnah as to when is the latest time that you're allowed to eat chametz. The Rabbanon have to be worried about a person making a mistake, and within that mistake, we should give him a margin of error, which is a normal, natural margin of error. And if it's 2 hours, then we should be stopping eating chametz 2 hours before the Shas Issa Dorais, which means before midday. And if there's a 3 hour margin of error, we have to allow for a 3 hour error. And therefore, we should already begin to cease and desist from chametz already at the fourth hour. So that we'll come back to later. At this point, the Gemara now goes to a Mishnah in Masechta Sanhedrin. The Mishnah says, "Hayu bodkim osam b'sheva chakiros." There are seven critical questions that we have to interrogate the edim, and these seven are called chakiros. We'll have another category called bedikos. And what are the seven questions that we have to get answers for from the edim? Ezu shavua, meaning which of the 7 year cycle in the Yovel cycle did the action take place? Number two, Be'ezah Shana, in which year of the 7 year Shemitah period did it take place? Be'ezah Chodesh, which month? Be'kama Chodesh, what day of the month? Be'ezah Yom, what day of the week? Be'ezah Shah, in what hour of the day? And then we have to ask him, Be'ezah Mokum, where did it take place? Give us the exact location. These are the details that must be answer. These are, you know, if you know what I mean in computers, there's something called a required field. And if you don't fill in that field, you get that red asterisk and you can't go on and pay your debts. So these are required fields, seven fields. Six out of them are makom, are zman, and one is makom. And we have to pinpoint the zman by going through six questions and getting the answers for six. We have to pinpoint the makom, the location. Usnan, now, All this is what we call chakiros. In addition to that, we have bedikos. We'll mention a few examples of bedikos. Number one, we ask, how did he kill the victim? Number two, was he wearing white clothes or black clothes and so forth? These are all questions that are additional questions of bedikos. And as we'll see, the Mishnah establishes ma bein chakiros lebedikos. What is the halachic difference between the absolute critical requirement of seven chakiros and the additional voluntary questions that the Beis Din could or cannot ask of bedikos? Bechakiros, with regard to chakiros, omar echad me'ameni yodea. If one of the two witnesses says, I don't know, I can't tell you exactly where it happened, or I can't tell you exactly when it happened, a dusam betela, that witness can no longer participate in the testimony. He's not part of the kat eden. But bevdikos, afilu shneim omrim, if both witnesses says ein anu yodim, we don't remember what color garment the murderer or the victim was wearing, a dusam kayemes, we can still validate the testimony. Va'avinan ba, and we ask the following question, Maishno chakiros. Why is then chakiros if one of the Edom says, I don't know? He can't answer the question. The Edom is completely invalid. U'maishno bedikos. That even if both of the Edom claim they don't know, V'amrinan, and yet we say the Edom is kayam, it's valid. And the answer is, Chakiros, Omer Echad Mehem Eni Yodei Edus, Mateo Davi Le Edus, Shiyat Yochel Azima. Every Edus has to lend itself and be vulnerable for Hazama, which means that another two Edom can come along and say to the first two Edom, it's impossible for you to have testified at that place and at that hour because you were with us in a different place at that hour. If they can't answer the questions of Zman and Makom, then the whole possibility of Hazama becomes excluded. It's impossible. And with regard to Edus, the Torah says, Vasisim lo kasha zomam lasosli ochiv, every Edus, in order for it to be accepted as a valid Edus, has to be subject to, lend itself to, Hazama. But if, on the other hand, Bedikos, they can't answer questions in Bedikos, they don't remember what the murder weapon looked like or exactly, or they can't tell me exactly what color shirt he wore, is Edus Shatiochel Azimahi, we can still be Mazim the Edim. Despite the fact that the Edim said Eni Yodea, we cannot answer the questions of Bedikos, still two Edim can come along and say, Imono Yisem, you were with us elsewhere at that time, regardless of what color shirt he was wearing. Now the Gemara comes to ask its question, if you're going to tell me that according to Rabbi Meir you can allow for a margin of error of up to 2 hours minus a mashu, and Rabbi Yehuda 3 hours minus a mashu, is chakiros days ashor nami edus shiyata yochel azimai? Because your purpose of asking what hour it is, which was the last of the questions about zman on the list of chakiros, is now not going to achieve its goal. Your goal is that by getting from the Edom, extracting from them an exact pinpoint time, Ezoshah, what time did the murder happen, now it lends itself to Hazama, because at that moment in time, you're with us elsewhere. But if you're allowing for such a margin of error, so when the Mazimim come in, the second pair of Edom say, Imono Ayisem, well, Imono Ayisem went, oh, at the end of the third hour. But we meant the beginning of the second hour, and we made a mistake by 2 hours, so that there's no way that the Edom HaMazimim could pin down the Edom Zomim Ti Amri, because the original Edom will say, Mitait Katinon, we made a mistake in the hour, and it could be that the hour that we saw the Edus, we were there to see the Edus, the hour that you saw us was a different hour by 2 hours or 3 hours, and therefore there's no Azoma. And the Gemara answers, the Avina Lahu Kula Ta'u Sayhu, that when do we have Hazama, that if the Mazimim will say Imono Yisem over a period of span of time, and that span of time will cover the toes. And now the Gemara works out the details. Li Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Meir, holds that we allow for a margin of error of 2 hours minus a mashu, Yavina Lahu, we're going to allow the second pair of, well, actually Yavina Lahu means that we're going to protect and counter-argue on behalf of the original Edim. And we're going to give them a two-hour period or a three-hour period, and we're going to say the following, that mitchilas shor rishona ad sof chamesh, we're going to require that the Edim Hamazimim, the second pair of Edim, will say Mono Ayisim from the beginning of the first hour until the end of the fifth hour. And that period of time of 5 hours, and as you were with us, you couldn't have been in New York because you were with us in Chicago for 5 hours, that'll cover all the possible counter-arguments of, well, we made a mistake in the hour. And the reason for that is because, let's say one aide said it happened at the second hour, right? So the Edom HaZimim already said that you were with us at the first hour. And you were with us until the end of the fourth hour, because when the aide says Shtayim, maybe he means, maybe he made a mistake of 2 hours, so we'll add another 2 hours. So we cover from hour number one until hour number five. We've now covered the entire span of possibilities vis-a-vis both witnesses. So we're going to cover the time of the first witness by going from the first hour all the way to the fourth hour, and we'll cover the second witness from the second hour all the way to the fifth hour. And now during this 5 hour period of Imanu Ayisem, we have actually swallowed up all of the possible margin of error, as we called it. Ubedinu denasiv lu me karatfe. The truth is that going back 1 hour, as far as the first aide who said the second hour, that's not sufficient. We should allow for a margin of error that goes back before the first hour, meaning a 2 hour margin of error, according to Rabbi Meir, Ella, but that's not going to be a margin of error. Why? Because Ben Yamama Lelela Loto Inshi. In other words, if we'd go back an earlier hour, so from 2, we're going to go back minus 2 hours, then you're already back into the nighttime. And there's no way that we can justify a margin of error between day and night. Now the Gemara is going to work out Hazama, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who allows for a discrepancy, a mistake of 3 hours minus a mashu. Ula Rabbi Yehuda, Yavinen Lahu, Mitchilas, Shor Rishona, V'ad Sof Shishis. We're going to start from the beginning of the first hour, but instead of ending at the end of the fifth hour, we're going to end at the end of the sixth hour. Why? One of the two witnesses says it happened in the third hour. So what we're going to do is, for his benefit, we're going to allow for a margin of error that takes us back to the first hour. Again, we can't go back 3 hours because that would be in the nighttime. So we go back to the earliest time of day, which would be the first hour. And as far as the second witness is concerned, he said the third hour. So we're going to give him a margin of error, according to Rabbi Yehuda, of 3 hours, and therefore we're going to cover it to the end of the sixth hour. So if the Edom HaMazimim say that we were with these two Edom from the beginning of the first hour until the end of the sixth hour, then they've covered all the possible margin of errors, and there's no way, no how, that the Edom Zomimim, meaning the original Edom, can say, well, we were at the scene of the crime and we saw the crime and we weren't with you at that time, because the Mazimim was saying you were with us all that time, even if we include the maximum margin of error. Even though we should give him the one who said Shalosh Shos, correct? So if we allow for a mistake of 3 hours, then we should go back even before the first hour. Ella, but once again, as we said before, Ben Yamama Lelela Loto Inshi. Okay then, Loto Inshi. Ubedinu Denesev Lekametfe. So we said that you don't make a mistake between day and night. Ubedinu denasiv lekamit fe, we should have given him for the person who said that it took place in the fifth hour, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, one said 3 and the other said 5. So let's give him from the fifth hour 3 hours for a margin of error, and that'll bring us to the seventh hour. But we never require that the Edom HaMazimim have to include the seventh hour in the Imanu HaYisem. Ela, and the answer to that is, Shebechamesh Chama Bitzad Mizrach, Ubesheva Chama Bitzad Mairav. That once again, there's no margin of error between the fifth hour and the seventh hour. It cannot be that when he said hour 5, he made a mistake and it really happened in hour 7, because all he would have to do is look at the sun or put up his hand, and Adam have to do so to determine the hour. That's their responsibility. And he would see which way the shade turns. You know, if it's before the seventh hour, you're in the morning hours before the sun is tilted towards the west, so you will see the shade towards the east. And if it's afterwards, you'll see the shade towards the west. So that there's no extra margin of error that would include the seventh hour, which means post-noon. Because such a mistake we don't consider as a possible mistake. So therefore the maximum margin of error here and the maximum amount of time that the Edom HaMazimah have to say Imanu HaYisem would be from the beginning of the first hour till the end of the sixth hour, but not beyond. So let's just summarize what we have here. According to Rabbi Yehuda, is mitchila shah rishona ad sof shah shishis. And such azama will cover the entire gamut. Now, we're about to go back to our Mishnah with regard to chametz, but I would like to point out a Rashi here on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. So if you can turn back for just one moment to Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. And there's a Rashi towards the bottom of the Amud. I'd say it's about 20 lines up from the bottom of the Amud. Dehavilei Eidashi Atayocha Lazima. And in the middle of that Rashi, about line 5, Rashi says, V'yim Tomer Atayocha Lazima Al Yidei Hayom. Let's say the Edim can't tell you exactly what hour of the day the murder took place, but they can tell you what day of the week. So Rashi asks, why shouldn't that be sufficient? The whole purpose of Chakiros is to make it into Eidus Shatayochel Azima. If Yavo Eidim V'yomu Kol Hayom Ayisem Imanu, you were with us the entire day in Chicago, you couldn't have been in New York on that day. Is Mia, he says, So Rashi says, so it should still qualify as Eidus Shatayochel Azima if they cannot answer the question of what hour it took place. So Rashi says, Mia Batzra Le Torah Hazama Min Chakiras Hashos. What you've done is, you've taken that Chakir of Shah, which would have made it a lot easier for the Edom HaMazimim to be Mazim the Edom and make them into Zomimim. You've completely negated that last of the Chakiras Hazman. And Rachmana Rabbi Sheva Chakiras B'Gzeira Shava Dehetev Hetev B'Sanhedrin. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Rashi tells us, has G'Zeira Shava Hetev Hetev, from which it derives that there are 7 Chakiras, the magic number 7. And if the Edom cannot answer the question of Shah, then although there is a possibility of Hazama, if the Edim HaMazim will say you were with us the entire day, but nevertheless you've made it impossible to have Hazama through the last of the 7 Chakiras, which is Be'ezah Shah. Now the Gemara, here on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, goes back to the Mishnah. Tnan, we have in our Mishnah Rabbi Meir Omer Ochlin Kol Chamesh V'Sarfim B'Tchilas Sheish, which means that according to Rabbi Meir, we're allowed to eat the entire fifth hour from 10 to 11 in the morning, and the Isra Achila begins, according to Rabbi Meir, 1 hour earlier than the Torah law, which means at the beginning of the sixth hour at 11 a.m. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ochlin Kol Arba. You can eat up to 10 o'clock. Tolin Kol Chomesh. You're not allowed to eat the Chomesh during the hour, the fifth hour, which is the hour from 10 to 11. But you don't have to destroy it until Sofer Nosot Tetchil Sheis, till the beginning of the sixth hour. So now the Gemara asks the following kash. La'abaye aliba de Rabbi Meir, according to the first Lishna in Abaye that we studied yesterday in Rabbi Meir, which means that in a case of Edom HaMachishim Zezeh B'Shos, Rabbi Meir's Shita is, according to Abaye, Ein Olam Tov Lo Klum. There's no margin of error whatsoever. Is there for Nechol Kulei Sheish? Why doesn't Rabbi Meir agree that we can eat Chametz the entire sixth hour from 11 to 12? We will not make any mistake. Let's go on with Rabbi Meir. Ulahach Lishna Nami, according to the second Lishna, the Lishna Basra of Abaye, who interprets Rabbi Meir as saying, Adam Toa Mashu, a person can make a mistake of a Mashu, a small time period. Is Nechol Ad Sof Shis. We should allow him to eat up to the end of the sixth hour, but not exactly the end of the sixth hour, because we have to allow for a margin of a Mashu. But yet Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah says we have to allow for an hour extra of Isra Achilas Chometz. The Gzeirah is an hour. The Gemara now goes through Rabbi Yehuda, according to two Lashonos of Abaye. Abaye Libid Rabbi Yehuda, Di Omar Adam Toa, this is the first Lishna in Abaye, Bechatzi Shah, he can make a mistake of maximum a half hour, is Nechal Ad Palga the Shis. We should allow him to eat the Chomets until halfway into the sixth hour, and allow for that margin of error of a half hour, Lahach Lishna Nami, according to Lishna Basra, of Abaye in Rabbi Yehuda, Di Omar Adam Toa Shah V'mashu, we have a margin of error that is expanded to an hour and a mashu, Nechal Ad Sof Chamesh. Then we should allow him to eat until almost the end of the fifth hour. And yet, Rabbi Yehuda, in our Mishnah, prohibits eating Chametz from the beginning of the fifth hour, allowing, as it were, for a mistake of 2 hours. Omar Abaye, Eidus Mesura Lizrizim, Chametz Lakol Mosur. There's a fundamental difference between testimony and Chametz. In the case of testimony, the Edom witnessed a murder. They're required to be very careful and meticulous about the time and try as hard as they can to note the precise time. We allow for a minimum margin of error, which might be a mashu, it might be a half hour, it might be an hour. But that's about it. To assume that the Edom would make a larger, more gross error, that we cannot assume, because Edus is Mesuril is reason. You have to be Zoriz and very meticulous if you plan to play the role as Aid. However, Chametz, now we're making a Xer for every single last Jew, and people are not necessarily so careful and meticulous about the time. Now we have to allow for a larger margin of error. And according to Rabbi Meir, there's a possibility of a full hour of an error in the case of Chametz. Because again, people are not bekiyim, they're not experts in the hour. So we have to allow for an extra hour of error. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, we can have a margin of error that's as long, as wide as 2 hours. And therefore we have to stop eating chametz already at the beginning of the fifth hour. Now the Gemara is going to analyze our Mishnah, Machlok Shrim Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rava. Ula Rava, Libid Rabbi Meir, Diomar Adam Toa Shtei Shos Chosav Mashu Mitchilus Chamesh Lo Nichol. According to Rava, Rabbi Meir allows for a margin of error of almost 2 hours. We should therefore desist from eating chametz already at the beginning of the fifth hour. Rabbi Meir says you're allowed to eat chametz until the beginning of the sixth hour. So the Gemara answers that a person would not make a mistake, according to Rabbi Meir, at the fifth hour. Why? Bechamesh chama b'tzad mizrach. V'sheva chama b'tzad marav. To say that already at the fifth hour, that's at 10 a.m., he's already making a mistake, or I'd say it the other way around, it's already 12 noon when Chometz is also midaraisa, but he identifies it as 10 a.m. and he makes a mistake of 2 hours, that's impossible. No one would make such an error. Because at 10 a.m. the sun is in the east. And at 12 noon the sun is already tilting towards the west. Well, what about the sixth hour from 11 to 12? The sun is still in the east. And at the seventh hour the sun tilts towards the west. Omar of Adabar Ava Shis. Why do we prohibit chametz already at the beginning of the sixth hour, meaning at 11 a.m.? Is Yoma Bekarnosa Koi. Now, there's a lot of astronomy here. I'm just going to try to simplify the Gemara. What happens is that already at the sixth hour, which is 11 a.m., an hour before noon, the sun is in the middle of the horizon. That's called the Emtza Harakia. Now there's something called a Keren Zavis. And that's the point, astronomically, when east meets west. And Mischabrim Mizrach Umayrov. In other words, at that point, during that hour, the sun is inclined both towards the east and the west. And it's very difficult to determine when the sun is already past that point and turned from east to west. And therefore we have to be choshesh for this hour between the sixth hour and the seventh hour. Again, you may have a lot of astronomical diagrams here. This morning I was davening in a minyan that had the Schottenstein Gemara, that's the Hebrew art scroll. So he has a very sophisticated diagram here. But for our purposes, what the Gemara is saying is that although in general, if you have a mistake during the morning hours from 1 hour to another, or in the afternoon hour from 1 hour to the other, then according to Rava's understanding of Rabbi Meir, we can allow for a mistake of up to 2 hours. But when you're mistaken between morning and afternoon, a mistake of 2 hours is impossible. To say that hour number five, which we call 10 o'clock in the morning, and he's going to make a mistake of 2 hours, that's a clear difference when the sun tips actually towards the west as opposed to 2 hours earlier, it's in the east. But that 1 hour, which is the 11th hour, it's very difficult to determine because the sun, to some extent, is still in the east, but it's also in the middle of the sky, tipping towards the west. And we have to allow for a margin of error between morning and afternoon of 1 hour. And that's why Rabbi Meir establishes that we cannot eat chametz during the sixth hour. That's all Rava Aliba de Rabbi Meir. Now Rava Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. We can allow for a margin of error 3 hours minus a mashu mitchilas arbalo nechel already at the beginning of the fourth hour, right? So forget about the fifth hour because that's a 2 hour margin of error. The sixth hour is a 1 hour margin of error, but the beginning of the fourth hour, that's a 3 hour margin of error. And you might ask, according to Rava's understanding, Rabbi Yehuda, in the case of Edim, for example, Rava in Rabbi Yehuda allows for a discrepancy of 3 hours, and it's not Edus Mukheshes. We can integrate the two Edim, allowing for a margin of error 3 hours. Then on Erev Pesach, we should allow for a margin of error of 3 hours. And therefore, already 3 hours before the Shas Yisur Chametz Doraisa, meaning 3 hours before noon, we should already prohibit Chametz. And that means at 9 a.m., forget about 10 a.m., or 11 a.m., meaning the 5th or the 6th hour, we should go back to the 4th hour. So the Gemara answers, Chamesh Chama B'Mizrach, v'sheva chama b'marav, v'kol shkein arba. We cannot allow for such a margin of error, because since chametz midoraisa only becomes also in the seventh hour of the day, which is 12 noon, the sun is already tilted towards the west. At the fifth hour, the sun is very clearly in the east, and how much more so in the fourth hour when you go back an earlier 1 hour. So the Gemara says, well, that doesn't work out because the hachi b'chamesh nami nechal. If you're saying there's no possible error between the fifth hour when the sun is clearly in the east and the seventh hour when the sun is clearly in the west, then why does Rabbi Yudin HaMishnah impose a 2 hour restriction before Shas Isur Chametz Doraisa, meaning already at the beginning of the fifth hour? What kind of margin of error do we need between the fifth and the seventh hour when in the fifth hour the sun is clearly in the east and in the seventh in the west? Now, this is a kasha that we're asking on Rava, and intellectual honesty, as we say, Abaye, who disagrees with Rava, but nevertheless he comes to the fore, and Tirgum Abaye, leave the Rava, he's going to give an answer to defend Rava. And that is that Eidus Mesur L'Zrizim Chametz Lakol Masur. Meaning that in the case of Eidus, clearly, Eidim would not make a mistake between the fifth hour and the seventh hour, because, as we said, the fifth hour the sun is pretty clearly in the east, and the seventh in the west. But that's only because Eidim nitna lizrizim. Mesura lizrizim means that the Eidim know that they are going to be interrogated with Be'ezah Shah, and they have to know what hour of the day it is. So to make a mistake between the fifth and the seventh hour, that we're not going to allow for in the case of Eidim, and if we have to allow for that, it's going to be Eidus Mukheshes. But in the case of Chametz, which is Masur Lakol, not everyone could differentiate between the fifth hour and the seventh hour. The fifth hour, the sun is already, you know, almost at its zenith point. It needs another 2 hours to reach its high point. And a person could make that mistake of 2 hours. Now, Rava finds out that Abaye defended him in that way, and he was not satisfied. He wanted to give his own answer. And probably what bothered Rava is that even if Chametz Masur Lakol, but nevertheless people should be able to make a difference on Erev Pesach when they know they have to stop eating Chametz between the fifth and the seventh hour, because the fifth hour is clearly different than the seventh hour. The sun is in the east and not in the west. So therefore Rava says, and here he's throwing a whole new perspective on the sugya of Rabbi Yehuda, the Shita Rabbi Yehuda. Rava Amar, forget about this question that you're asking, and you know why Rabbi Yehuda would ask the Chametz 2 hours from fifth to the seventh. Lav hani time with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is not based on toes. He's not talking about a margin of error. We don't expect any error between the fifth hour and the seventh hour. But rather he has a different reason why he prohibits the eating of Chametz during the fifth hour. A whole new reason. El Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei, Rabbi Yehuda is being consistent. The Omar, his sheet is in the Mishnah later on in Chaf Aleph. Ein bir chametz el asreifa. There's a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda at the beginning of the second parak. What does the Torah mean when it says tashbisu? The Chachamim say just get rid of it anyway. Zora machar l'ruach, you know, crumble it up and throw it into the air, to the wind, throw it to the wind. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, ein bir chametz ela sreif. You have to burn the chametz. That's how a minhag like Rabbi Yehuda. And now the problem is, will a person be ready to burn his chametz? So in order to be ready to burn your chametz, you have to collect wood. Here, right outside this window that I'm looking at now, all the people go down into the forest here, and they burn their chametz. So by the time I get down there are plenty of bonfires going on over there. So I don't have to worry about scrounging together wood. But that's because this is Yar Yushalayim, and there are like 17 apartments here, you know, that are within a very small square area. But let's say I have my own private house, and I want to burn my chametz, then I have to collect wood. But I'm still busy eating chametz. You know, it's the last hour that I'm allowed to eat chametz from the fifth to the sixth hour. Sixth hour already, the Rabbanan said I'm not allowed to eat chametz. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to be a little bit distracted. And instead of burning my chametz on time, because it takes time to gather the wood, I'm going to be eating together with my family, those last wonderful balinses, you know, those chametzdikah balinses that we don't want to throw into the fire. And therefore, Yavi le Rabbanan Sha'achas Lilkot Bar Eitzim, the Rabbanan want to guarantee that he has that extra hour when he's not allowed to eat chametz, and he's free, he's got plenty of what we call Zman Panui, and he can dedicate that to gather together the trees and the logs in order to burn his chametz on time. So the Gemara is not happy with Rava. Eisvei Ravina le Rav, I don't understand. Okay, fine. You're right that Rabbi Yehuda requires Sreifa. But Rabbi Yehuda only requires Sreifa if you're burning your chametz before the seventh hour. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Emasai, when do I say that you must utilize the method of burning in order to destroy your chametz? That's only Shalom B'Shas Biuro, that's during the sixth hour. Aval B'Shas Biuro, once we reach the seventh hour, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that Ash B'Sosu B'Chol Dover. We're not going to ask you to run around to make sure you can burn your chametz. Just crumble it up and throw it up to the wind. Or throw it into the yam, into the water. So therefore, why should we prohibit chametz during the fifth hour to guarantee that he's going to go out and he's going to collect his wood to make a bonfire and burn his chametz? Let him just wait to the beginning of the seventh hour. And then Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the Chacham's position, Ash B'Sosu B'Chol Dover, he doesn't have to destroy it by burning it. Now, all this is according to Rashi Shita. Rashi holds that in this brisa that we just quoted, the phrase B'Shas Bi'uro is a reference to Shah Shvius, to the seventh hour. However, there are problems here with Rashi's interpretation that Shas Bi'uro is referring to the seventh hour. And he says here, Tomer Rabbeinu David al Shitas Rashi, alo af bitul moel kodim zmani suro kolshkin sheesh piru vizriya leruach lohoil. We know that bitul works even before the Shasi Suro, and Dafka before the Shasi Suro, if you remember. So why should Ash B'Sosu B'Chol Dover be worse than Bittel? So how can you tell me that Ash B'Sosu B'Chol Dover only applies after the seventh hour? The Rush says that according to Rashi, Dafka B'Shosh Shishis Mitzvah B'Sreifa Al B'Shosh HaMishis Ash B'Sosu B'Chol Dover. That's also very difficult. So again, just to summarize, Rashi interprets Shas Bi'uro as Shah Shvius. And there's a Tosus here, Dibro Maskel Emosai. And if you'll see about six lines down in that Tos Kosher Rabbeinu Tam, Hechi Yamtin Ad Shah Sheva Levaro. This doesn't make any sense. Rabbi Yehuda, if you recall, that was yesterday's sugya, would not allow you to be involved in chametz and destroying chametz past the Shas Isa because you might be tempted to eat the chametz, lo b'dilamine, if you remember that. So now you're telling me that he could destroy his chametz in the seventh hour? Hechi yamten ad sheva levara askina liel de gozer Rabbi Yehuda b'shas isuro livdok. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow you to do a b'dika after Shas Isuro, Dilmas Mikhli might come to eat it. V'od Shas Biura de Masnisan Ainu Beshesh, V'od de Minosar Yolaf Rabbi Yehuda de Chametz Besreifa, V'nosar Acher Isuro Ton Sreifa, Kamokhein Chametz. Rabbi Yehuda's sheet of Ein Bir Chametz is a derivative of Nosar, where the Torah says explicitly Nosar has to be burnt. And Nosar is after Shas Isuro, so that therefore the derivative of Nosar, meaning Chametz, after Shas Isuro would certainly have to be burnt. Therefore, Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with the Zeda, and he says, Mefarsh Rabbeinu Tam, Dib Shalom B'Shas B'Yuro Haidu Achar Sheish, Sherov Hola Mevarim B'Sheish Ketikun Chachomim. So when we say Shalos Shas B'Yuro, that means at the end of the sixth hour, most people will burn their chametz the way they should be burning it at the beginning of the sixth hour. V'tam mishum deyolif minosar hayna liachar isuro. And as far as requiring sreifa is concerned, that's only after shas isuro. Al b'shas b'yura da'ayna b'sheish kevin she'ena mitzuva levaro el ben rabbanon hashpesos b'chol dovar. So the sixth hour, which is a requirement of Bir Chometz de Rabbanon, it's not going to be derived from Nosar, and therefore you're not restricted to Sreifa. So Rabbeinu Tam turns the whole sugya upside down as far as Rashi is concerned, and he's learning that Shas Biura is the sixth hour, not like Rashi says Shas Biura is the seventh hour. Rabbeinu Tam can't tolerate that we're going to wait till the seventh hour, and then you're going to allow me to crumble it up and throw in the air when Rabbi Yehuda derives Sreifa in Bir Chametz from Nosa, which is after Shas Isuro. So therefore, according to Rabbeinu Tam's Pshat, Shalo B'Shas Biuro means, how does he interpret it? Shalo B'Shas Biuro Hainu Achar Sheish, meaning at the end of the sixth hour, but you're still within the sixth hour, and Chometz is not awesome in the Raisa. And in such a case, Rabbi Yehuda says that Chometz requires Sreifa, but if you are destroying your Chometz at the beginning of the sixth hour, which is B'Shas Biuro, that's when people are meant to burn their Chometz, they don't have to burn their Chometz, it's Hashpesos B'Chol Dovar, because that's already a rabbinic Zman, and you're not bound by Nosar, which is Liachar Shas Isura, and if you're not bound to Sreifa. So at this point, Ravina has really completely undermined Rava's explanation of Rabbi Yehuda. You cannot say that the reason why Rabbi Yehuda added an extra hour is because he wants to give you that hour to prepare for Sreifa, because at that hour, you don't need Sreifa. Or the way Rashi says it, you can always postpone the beer until the hour when you don't need Sreifa, which is after Shas Shvi'is. So this whole business about Rabbi Yehuda adding an hour in order to make sure that you have time to gather together your logs and make Sreifa, that cannot be accepted. So now we're back to the drawing board. Ela Marava, we have to have another explanation as to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, because Rava doesn't accept a mistake between the fifth hour and the seventh hour. Fifth hour, the sun is in the east, and the seventh in the west. So why a two-hour Iser Chometz, according to Rabbi Yehuda? Gzera mishum yom hama'unan. Maybe it'll be a cloudy day. And if it'll be a cloudy day, you can make a mistake even from the fifth hour to the seventh hour, because you cannot even see the sun, and you're not aware of whether it's tilting towards the west. As far as Eidus is concerned, however, we're not going to be machshir and allow for a wider discrepancy of error, margin of error, because of maybe it was the Yom HaMa'unon, because Rov HaYom Einu Ma'unon, and Ein Lo Leches Achar HaMiut, and we're not going to use the Miut in order to expand the margin of error, because the more you expand the margin of error, the more you're inclined to kill, to put to death the condemned, you know, the accused. And that we don't want to do, Vitzilu Ha'eda. So we don't want to assume that maybe the Eda made a mistake of a radical nature between the fifth hour and the seventh hour because it was a cloudy day. It's rare to have a cloudy day, and as a result of expanding the margin of error, you're going to put to death the accused. That we don't want to do. But in terms of chametz, we want to make sure that no one's eating chametz after Shas Isuro. Certainly we have to take into consideration the possibility of Yom HaMa'unon and allow for a discrepancy of 2 hours. So Gemara asks, "Hachi afilu bi'arba shalos nami nechal lo nechal." Maybe even as early as 9 a.m., which is the beginning of the fourth hour, which is 3 hours before noon, in a cloudy day, you have no clue which direction the sun is tilting. So we should allow for a margin of error of 3 hours, because you're worried about a Yom HaMa'un on a cloudy day. Amar Rav Papa, Revius Man Suda Lakolhi. Everyone knows when the Shah Revius is, because that's when we eat. And that's our breakfast. And that's not that's a way of identifying the fourth hour, so there's no way that he would confuse the fourth hour and the seventh hour. because he's got to eat breakfast in the fourth hour. And now the Gemara quotes a brice that goes into the distinctions and different sociological groups when they eat their breakfast. Tana Rabbanan and Shari shown at the beginning of the morning with daybreak, that's very early, Machal Ludim. Rashi identifies Ludim as a nation of cannibals. And they are very hungry people, right? They're gluttonous. And they get up very early to eat their prey, you know, to eat their breakfast. Shnia Machal Listim. The Listim, the thieves, the professional Ganovim, they're also gluttonous. You know, they really enjoy a good meal, but they can't get up that early because they were up through the night, you know, robbing houses. So we'll give them an extra hour of sleep until they finally get to eat breakfast. Shlishis Machal Yarshim. This is the time for those who don't work for a living because they inherited a great large estate. That's where they're going to eat B'shash Shlishis. And Revius Machal Paulin. So those who really go to work, they're going to eat their breakfast early in Shah Revius. But not that early because, you know, they have to prepare to go out to work. Chamishis is Machal Talmidei Chacham. So Talmidei Chacham get up a little earlier than other people. They want to eat breakfast. They have to davening and get down to work and learn in the Beis Medrash. So that's Shah Chamishis. And Shishis Machal Kol Adam. Your average person eats B'shah Shishis at 11 o'clock. Because keep in mind, in those days, they would eat a very large breakfast that would last them till dinner. They didn't have lunch. They didn't have three meals a day. The Gemara asks, Sakash of Omer Rapapa Revius Man Se'udah Lakolhi. Rapapa had a different opinion about when the average person eats breakfast, and he thought it was Shah Revius. And here in the Brice it says, Shah Chamishis. Ela Epoch. So the Gemara says we should switch it around. The Brice should read as follows. Revius Machal Kol Adam. And that is exactly what Rav Papa said before. People eat B'shah Revius at 10 a.m. They're eating breakfast. Like in the fancy hotels. You know, Chamishis Machal Polim, and the fifth hour the Polim are going out to work, and they'll chop a breakfast before they go out to work. And Shishis Machal Talmidei Chachamim. So Talmidei Chachamim are delaying breakfast because they already have a Seder, and they're learning Daf Yomi at 7:30 a.m., so they're going to postpone breakfast. Mikan V'elech, now the Gemara goes on to the Braisa, and says that if a person delays his breakfast, even beyond the sixth hour, so he's got an empty belly, and it's already noontime, and he's eating breakfast, is kizorik evin lechemes. The Gemara gives a mashal here, it's like throwing a stone into a chemes. Chemes is a sack that's made out of hide, and it's full of air. And now you have an empty goof. You know, your gastronomical system is empty. You haven't eaten for so many hours. And now you throw a stone in, you put food in. It's like throwing a stone into this big bag of air. It's not a good idea. It's not healthy. And this is a reflection of what Chazal always say, that it's, you know, breakfast is a very important meal. Okay. Amar Abaye, Lo Amoron, when do we say that it's not a healthy idea to wait till after the sixth hour to eat? Elu de lo toim midi b'tzafra, he didn't eat a thing in the morning. Avol toim midi b'tzafra leslambo. If he had a tam, he ate something, you know, he had a quick coffee and a muffin, then he can postpone breakfast till even after the sixth hour, no harm done. Omer Rav Ashi, kemachlokes b'yedus, kach machlokes b'chometz. Just like with regard to edus, We have a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. What's the margin of error? And Rabbi Yehuda allows for a larger margin of error than Rabbi Meir. So too in Chametz, Rabbi Yehuda has more of a chashash of a mistake of 2 hours, whereas Rabbi Meir is only worried about a mistake of 1 hour. And even though both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda agree that the margin of error in Eidus is not the same as the margin of error with regard to Chametz, but that's not a contradiction, as we explained earlier. But we see that there's a certain consistency here, which Rabbi Meir allows for a lesser margin of error. Rabbi Yehuda allows for a larger margin of error, and that expresses itself not only in Eidus, but also in Chametz. Pshita haynu hach diamrinon. Why did Rav Ashi feel compelled to add this? I mean, this is exactly what Rav and Abai were saying all along, and they tried to reconcile the contradiction between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah and Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda in Sanhedrin, where in Sanhedrin we allowed for a larger margin of error. We gave all the answers that we gave. So what is Rav Ashi coming to add now when he says that the basic positions of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda regarding a margin of error are the same in Chametz as they are in Eidus? Hakamashbalon, Rav Ashi wants to teach us Shinui the Shaninon Shinuyehu, that those answers that we gave to reconcile the two Mishnayos, the Mishnah here and the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, are acceptable and valid answers. Velo tema tanoihi, and don't believe for one moment, don't say that the machlokas tanoim in Shitas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, there are different versions of that machlok stream Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda, that according to Mishnah Sanhedrin, Rabbi Meir holds that a person makes a mistake of 2 hours, and Rabbi Yehuda 3 hours. But according to our Mishnah, Rabbi Meir only allows for a mistake of 1 hour, Rabbi Yehuda for 2 hours. So Rav Ashi says, no, that's totally wrong. There is absolutely no steer, no contradiction between the two Mishnayos, as we explained earlier with all the different answers. You know, Eidus is the Bakiyim, is Rizim, and Chametz is Mesura Lakol, etc. Okay. Oh yeah, and then Rava had the answer that with regard to Chametz, we have to worry about a Yom HaMa'unon, a cloudy day. Rav Shimi Bar Ashi Lo Shanu, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin that says that if there was a discrepancy between the two Eidim of 1 hour or 2 hours, and that's not a major discrepancy because we have a margin of error, therefore the Eidus Kayemes, it's a valid Eidus, Ela B'Shaos. Aval Echad Omer Kodem HaNeitzach Chama, V'Echad Omer Achar HaNeitzach Chama, Eidusim B'Tela. You can have a discrepancy of just a few moments, and yet it's irreconcilable. The Eidus is Eidus Mukheshes. Why? Because one Eid said it happened before HaNeitzach Chama, the other said it happened after HaNeitzach Chama. There may be a very short discrepancy between the two, but it's nevertheless Eidus Mukheshes. The Gemara says, Pshita, why would I think otherwise? How could I reconcile Kodem HaNeitzach Chama with after HaNeitzach Chama? Ela Echen Omer Kodem HaNeitzach Chama Echen Omer Besoch HaNeitzach Chama. One said it happened during that few seconds of sunrise, just as the sun was rising. Is therefore, I might think that in such a case we could reconcile Kodem HaNeitz with Toch HaNeitz. Is Kamash Malon Eidusim B'Tela. Gemara says, Honami Pshita. This also is a fundamental distinction between Kodem HaNeitz and Tchilas HaNeitz, or what we called Toch HaNeitz. You know, there's something clearly before HaNeitz. You know, the sun hasn't risen. We have no sunshine on the horizon. And Toch HaNeitz means that the sun has already risen. So that also is obvious that we cannot reconcile the two Eidim. Gemara says, Ma'al Detema, if not for Rav Shimi, we would have said, Shavayu Chada Milsa Kamri. They're both, in truth, saying the same thing. And let's say the murder took place before HaNeitz HaChama. V'hoda Kamar. Here we turn to Daf Yud Gimel, just the top two lines. And when the second witness said it was B'toch HaNeitz HaChama, what he meant was B'giluye HaVikoy. In other words, he was standing in a place where he could see the rays of sun as they shoot up from below the horizon. And therefore, even though he really saw it before Hanetz, he called it Besoch Hanetz. V'zehure bi'alma hu davichaza. But really, all he saw was reflected light before the sun rises. And he thought mistakenly that that is already, you know, the orachama, the sunlight, the beams of light already, you know, already visible, and therefore he called it Tochanei Sacham. Kamash Malon, Rav Shimi Barashi says, no, we cannot assume such a mistake. We take a person at, you know, literally for his word. And he said it was Betochanei. It's not that he confused and he thought it was already Anates, but it really wasn't yet Anates. He would know that distinction between reflected light and direct light from the sun, and therefore it's Eidus Mukheshes, we cannot reconcile the two witnesses. Okay, then, so here's, we're going to stop on the top of Yud Gimel, Amud Aleph, second line, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav.